Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
I am going to get right into it. I got my preaching shirt on. Shut up, devil. So that's what we're going to do today. Like I said, I just want to punch the devil in the face today, and we're going to go for it. And so he's already trying to mess things up. He's going to lose. So today, we had parents dedicating their kids, which is fantastic, believing for God's protection over them. And God is a protector. So that is awesome that we can pray that. And, you know, God is just like, hey, nobody messes with my kids. And I think that's our attitude, too. It's like, nobody's going to mess with God's kids, so we're going to do a bit of devil punching today. And so we've been reading through Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and discovering the importance of unity, specifically unity within the church. So the unity with us and God, and unity amongst us as believers, okay? And so Ephesians is really rich. And so I just want to paint a quick, big picture of the book of Ephesians and what it was setting up for us as we've gone through this. So Paul reminds us of where we once were. I'm just going to jump into it. So Ephesians 2, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world, which I'm foreshadowing. But God, okay? So we lived in sin. We were destined for destruction. But God, and I'm a kids pastor, so I really like, you know, when I hit those, it's like, we got to pay attention to this but, okay? This is a big but. This is a... Yeah, see? There's the kids who graduated from kids' church. It's a big but. This is a huge but. That's right. So, but God, thank you, is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians 2:14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united, can you say united?
United?
He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separates us. So now all of us can come to the Father. So there's also, you're going to see these verses if you watch for it. He's talking about unity, not just unity of people, but unity of God himself. And so he references the Trinity quite a bit because there's three parts to our God. God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And you'll see these if you watch for it. So even right here, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So there's a unifying aspect. All together we are brought in. And when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you are united with all aspects of God, and we receive full unity. Therefore, say therefore. So the first three chapters, Paul is setting all this up, and then he goes, therefore, and then we switch into, what do we do with this? I, as a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. So now that you know this, now that you see the big picture, here's what you need to do. Lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. And God's call for us is unity. This title of this series is All Together Different. We are united together, but we still bring our differences. We are not cookie cutters. In the walk of faith. And God blesses our difference. He equips us with special gifts to bless and build his kingdom. And so as he's doing all this, he's building the kingdom, he's training us, he's equipping us. This is great, but then look at this. This will continue. So this, church gathering and equipping, everything we need, this will continue until we all come to such, can you say it with me? Unity, okay? We all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord. So we're going to keep doing this until we are fully united in the faith and knowledge of Jesus, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That sounds like a great end goal. Unity is the end goal. That is where we're going. That is what we're doing. I want to show you a picture. Soldiers side by side, pressing forward. You know, this was a strategy they used to really protect themselves fully. And this is almost a picture, of like what Paul envisions the church to be like. A powerful force, and when we're standing together in unity. But unity doesn't necessarily mean sameness, all right? Unity just means that we have a shared allegiance to Jesus, amongst all our differences. So we're all different people here, yet we have a shared allegiance to Jesus, which unites us. And that's really important. And as a church, we stand united in some key areas. I mean, we talked about it recently going through the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. But as a church, we believe God is the creator of the world. Jesus is the Son that was sent to live a perfect life and be sacrificed for our sins. He died on a cross. He rose again. He defeated death. We can have eternal life in heaven or reject him for hell. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who works through his church today, and he speaks to us through his word, the word of God. We believe these are the primary issues. This is like, you got to believe this if you're actually a follower of Jesus. There's really no like, I'll decide if, no, you do or you don't. Like, these are the keys to actually be a follower of Jesus. Those are primary issues, but there are secondary issues. They're still important, but it's not necessarily essential degree universally. Like, the end times, what's going to happen in the end? Rapture, no rapture. I don't know what's going to happen in the end. We don't have to agree on that. Worship styles. Ministry focuses. What does each church focus on, you know, being the hands and feet of God? What does that look like? What Bible translation do you prefer to read? Like, these are secondary issues that, you know what? You can actually disagree on these things and still be totally united in Christ, in this church, in the body of believers. Now, maybe you've even talked about some of those things with other people, maybe some other believers. Maybe you've had discussions about end times or things we do as a church or what your preferences or whatever, and you've had some of those conversations in the foyer after church or across the dinner table or online. My question is, were you able to have different opinions yet end with unity? Unity is a big part. It's not about trying to prove you're right online or whatever. Like, is there unity in the body of Christ? And so that picture again, that picture of the soldiers there. Unity takes work, and a united church is dangerous to darkness. Okay? This ominous figure, dangerous to what might be lurking in the shadows. And Paul knows this, so he wraps up his letter with a final focus. And so in Ephesians 6, it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So he's like, all right, guys, we got to be strong in the Lord. Everybody, I need you to get in position. I need you to get ready. My son Micah, he really likes to say, lock in. I know that's a big thing right now, right? Lock in. Lock in. We got to get serious. We got to do this. It's time to lock in. Well, I'm going to use that today. So I actually need 6 teenagers in the front row area. You're going to be doing a bit. I need 6 of you up here right now, like in front of the stage. Anyone in front row? Okay. Yeah. I don't care. Some of you guys. Yeah, I need 6 of you. Who's going to help me? Do you want to help me, buddy? Do you want to help me? Okay. 6 of you right here. You're always going to run up, and I want you to grab one of these shields. Okay. And you're always going to stand in front of me. Grab a shield. These are shields. They got handles on the back. Face the crowd. Okay. You are my 6. Every time you're going to run up, every time I yell, lock in. Okay. And what I need you to do is actually need you to stand in front and lock shields together. Okay. Let me see it. Hold it like you're protecting yourself. There's a handle. Get it up. Lock shields. Does this look unified? See, it's a work in progress. Okay. Okay. That's what you're going to do. Everybody got it? Okay. You can put the shield down. Just set it back down and you guys go sit down. I'll occasionally, anytime I yell this, it's up to you to get up here for this. Okay. Okay. So be ready. I'm going to yell. I'm going to yell, lock in, and that's when you got to do it, okay? Because we want to show this image of coming together. It looks good. And if only it could look like this all the time. But sometimes it looks a little more like this. Here's another picture. Sometimes it ends up looking a little more like this, okay? I think that's sometimes a picture of us. We think that the enemy is the person that we disagree with, who annoyed us, who hurt us. Come on, you know this. You've had this. Have you ever been annoyed by someone? Have you ever been disappointed by someone? Have you ever been hurt by someone? Flip it. Have you ever hurt someone? Have you ever annoyed someone or disappointed someone, disagreed with someone? Yeah, we get this. I believe the greatest threat to church unity is not personality differences or generational misunderstandings. What does that word mean? I don't understand what they're doing. Any of those things, it's not political preferences or hurt feelings or disagreement on secondary issues. That person sitting beside you right now is not the enemy. that person that is sitting across the room from you, because you sat there, because you saw them over there, and you avoided them in the foyer, they're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. So, if it's not other Christians, who is our real enemy? Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Okay? Our real enemy is the devil and the forces of darkness that are at work to tear down what Jesus has built up. And you know, you might roll your eyes because you're picturing, like, you know, the fat little red dude with a pitchfork, and it's like, oh, the devil, yeah, right, like he's real. If that's what you think, then he's definitely winning. You've probably heard the quote, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. So if he can play it off like, I'm not even here, then he's winning, because he would much rather be sitting in the background, behind the scenes, doing his thing, setting up things, sabotaging things. He's not looking to be prominent in front. The devil, man, he is real, and we need to recognize that. We don't give him too much attention, but we do need to be aware. And the devil has many strategies, and you might know them. Or, as I'm reading some of these, you might just recognize him in your life. You're like, I don't know. Is that, oh, I guess that maybe that's not me. That doesn't seem normal. Things like deception, twisting truth, making bad seem good or good seem bad, condemnation, bringing up your past mistakes, stirring shame in you, doubt, questioning your own worth, value, or even your identity, maybe questioning God and his character, discouragement, taking all that fatigue and failure and just the everyday hardships we face and amplifying it until you just want to quit. That's not you. That's not normal when it gets to that point. Distraction, just keeping you busy. Busy fiddling with things or being entertained or whatever it is, whatever takes your eyes off of bigger, better things. And trying to keep your eyes off the positive and only see the negative happening in our world. But I think his favorite is division and isolation. Like just driving wedges between individuals, between your family, between communities, between people groups. And he likes to use pride and greed and misunderstandings to encourage the idea that you are better off alone, because it prevents things like accountability and support and healthy relationships. Man, he's at work, and I hate him. The devil opposes God because he fears a united church and believers who are upholding God's kingdom. He fears that. He doesn't want to see that, so he will oppose it and do what he can. And if he can't destroy the church, he'll just try to divide it. Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, okay? But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, why would Paul need to even say this or reference this unless it was happening back then too? Believers fighting amongst themselves. Yes, people hurt us. Yes, it causes conflict, but they are not the real enemy. Who are we actually fighting against? It's the rulers and authorities, not human dictators. It's not government officials or whatever. It's not that. It's the underlying, the rulers and authorities of the unseen realm, the powers and spirits, things like lust and greed and all those things that are just, they're there. They're prominent, but they're not maybe visible. Gossiping Gladys is not your enemy. The spirit of gossip is an enemy. Prideful Patrick is not your enemy. The pride that lives in him and in all of us, that is the enemy. There are different things working behind the scene, causing chaos in relationships, and the devil is relentless, trying to get through any crack that presents itself. And he wants to break formation. He wants to weaken a unit, but the people of God must be united. We must lock in. Yeah, lock in. Lock in. Come on, quick. How quick can you get in formation? Okay, lock in. They got to be tight. There can't be any gaps. Can he make it through? Can he find areas in you where he can get in and mess with you? Ideally, not. Okay, thank you, guys. Man, there is a war over every heart here. There is. There is a war over every heart. over your church, over your home, over the kids that you just dedicated today. And we need some strong male warriors. We need some mama bears. We need people who are like, you can't have my family. You can't have my church. I will stand my ground. So how do we do that? How do we resist and stand firm against this force of darkness, the unseen realm? Well, we need some armor, okay? We need armor. All right, let's talk about armor. I love the armor of God, Ephesians 6. It is good stuff. Now, what's really cool is Paul's going to explain this, this armor of God that is given to us. But did you know that the armor of God, this is not the first time it's mentioned. It's actually mentioned hundreds of years earlier in a prophecy in Isaiah where it's talking about the coming Messiah, that Jesus is a savior. And he's declaring, what is he going to do? What will he be like? And it says this, Isaiah 59:17. I wonder if you've ever seen this. He put on righteousness as his body armor and placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. This is God's armor. This God does not need physical armor, obviously, but it's representative of all he has, all his power, all his strength. It's representative of that. We have, and the cool thing, guys, is we have been gifted this same armor. This armor that the Messiah came to free us with, he says, hey, now you can have those same things in your life, working on you, covering you. These spiritual elements of God's character to cover us. So, verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Can you say standing firm? Okay, that's important. So why armor? Why do we need armor? If Jesus already did everything, if he's a savior and he's done this, why do we need armor? For resistance and endurance. For resistance and endurance. We are saved to take up God's own armor in God's ongoing battle with the power of darkness. You see, to be a Christian and to be a follower of Christ does not just mean, oh, well, now I'm forgiven of my sins, and I've been given, you know, his love, his joy, all of these things, which, yes, of course, but that is not all of it. To be a Christian also means that we are called to defend the territory that Jesus has won. If he's made all things new, if he has secured us with him forever and he has made the world right, then it is our job to defend it from everything that comes against us, and we must lock in. Go, go, go. We must lock in as we stand our ground. Very good. Good job. Quick, ready. Okay, stay here for a minute. You are locked in to defend the territory. This is not about you charging out. It is defending territory. Jesus already won as we are waiting for God's final victory, when one day he will make all things right and we will be with him forever. But for now, we stand our ground. And for all you Lord of the Rings fans, this is less of an Aragorn grabbing a sword, you know, for Frodo and running into battle. It's less of that, and it's a little more Gandalf standing, stopping the Balrog, declaring, "You shall not pass!" Right? That's more what it is. I am standing my ground. You don't get in. You don't mess with my family. All right? Thank you, guys. So, it is saying, what it is saying, it's like you're saying, I believe in Jesus. I will preserve what he has accomplished, what he's about, what he's done, who he is, by taking a stand against anything culturally or whatever that would come against him. I just stand my ground. It's not about being a bully. It's not about blah. It's just, hey, I believe this. I will protect and defend what God has done. That is what we're doing. I mean, you can just read the end of God's story. You jump to Revelation, you will see continuous references of God's holy people. And how are they described when you read about this? They're faithful in the last days, victorious over the enemy. They've been martyred, killed for God's word, not bowing to the enemy. They stayed faithful in their testimony for Jesus. They kept God's commandments, and they endured persecution patiently. This is a descriptor of what the people who make it to the end are like. So it takes something, it costs something, it requires something. Yeah, I'm gonna say it. Okay, let me give a disclaimer, especially for visitors, or maybe you're considering, like, what is Christianity even all about? When you say yes to Jesus and to following Jesus and committing your life to him, you aren't just joining some cozy clique where you get some feel-good vibes on a Sunday morning or, you know, Instagram verse of the day things. Like, it is not that. That is not what you are signing up for. What you're doing when you say yes to follow me, Jesus, is you are actually defecting from the kingdom of darkness, okay? You've been like, I've been under this. Didn't mean that I was over here sacrificing cats and doing satanic worship, but we were under, if you're not under the kingdom of light and God, you are under the kingdom of darkness. You might not even have known it. So I'm not saying you were this bad person, but you were without God. And so there was darkness over you. And what you're doing is you're waking up and you're defecting, saying, you know what? No thanks. I'm done. I believe I can be in God's kingdom, and I am actually enlisting in his army. I am defecting from this, and I am enlisting in something bigger. Enlisting is a scary thing, but it's a powerful thing. It's a purposeful thing. We are being enlisted. And when you were in the enemy's camp, you weren't even a threat. You know what? Like, why would the devil care about you? Why? It's like, oh, I had it easy before. Man, it seems like it's harder once I start following Jesus. Yeah, you know why? Because you weren't a threat before. Why would he need to come against you in any way if you're just, God's not on your radar, whatever, it doesn't matter. But as soon as you step into his camp, you're on his radar. Blip, blip, blip. And now you're a threat. And so now he just puts you in his crosshairs. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay, so I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you come to church and you're like, oh yeah, this Jesus thing is awesome, you just want the feel-good messages and some casual commitment, let me just save you some time. If you are not willing to armor up, then I just encourage you to get out now, because you're going to get eaten alive. Now, I don't say it I know it sounds harsh, but it's actually in love, because I want to protect you. Like, you need to know what you sign up for. And we will be with you. We will lock arms. We will do all those things. We will be together. But it's good to know, because if you don't know, you might get eaten alive. The enemy is looking for someone to devour. And if that's you on the outskirts and like, you know, can we put up the second picture again? It's like they're fighting, or maybe they're just like wandering around. I don't know what I'm doing. It's like you can get picked off. And I don't want to see you get picked off. So it's better to know up front. This is going to require something. You got to armor up. And I've been a Christian my whole life. And I've watched person after person after person walk away from Jesus by their own choice. And it often starts with like, this person hurt me. Yeah, you had a disagreement or something with someone in church, let's say. This person hurt me. But that becomes people at church hurt me, which becomes the church hurt me, which becomes God hurt me and abandoned me, and I'm out. The disunity they allow in their heart, which usually starts with a person or a relationship, will eventually become disunity with God, and the enemy will pick you off, and I do not want to see that happen to you. None of us do. But it seems like a lot to sign up for, and you're like, why on earth would I join this? You know why? Because greater is he that is living in me than he that is in the world. Greater is our God. And if you actually are all in with Jesus, you know this. It's like, yeah, the darkness is whatever. There's a lot of things coming against us. But man, the light is so much better. Holy cow, now that I know the light, now that I've seen the forgiveness and experienced all these things of Jesus, why would I ever choose anything else? Yes, of course, I'm locked in. I'm locked in. And that's what we're going to do. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The enemy is a neutered, defeated foe. He is a liar running out of breath, just trying to mess with us. And I know the end of his story. He loses. And Jesus makes all things new, and I want to be a part of that. So I'll stand my ground. I will reflect Jesus to my world through how I live without compromise, because we're on a mission. And the mission is not to take new ground. It's to defend, like I said, Jesus already took the ground, but to hold kingdom ground, maintain his victory, and withstand an attack and endure to the end. That's why we lock in. Okay, thank you guys. You're ready. You're on it. Let's look at each piece of armor quick described in Ephesians. The belt of truth. Stand your ground, Ephesians 6:14. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. So we must take the truth of the gospel, that Jesus came, made all things right. We are welcomed into this. What is the truth? And we need to tie it around ourselves, because if we start with truth, everything else holds in place. We need truth. There is no my truth. There is one truth. It is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you embrace that, I promise you, you will see everything in your life hold together. Doesn't mean circumstances won't go downhill, but you will be held together. And if we all have truth as a primary protection, man, unity is going to be so much easier. The breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6:14, and the body armor of God's righteousness. So righteousness is simply living right, living God's way, obeying his commands, following the one who knows what's best for us. And that protects our heart. It protects you from insecurity or self-justification. And come on, insecure people, they're the ones that cause a lot of fights, right? When we are insecure, we fight with our spouse, our sibling, that person at work, whatever it is. But imagine if we were secure and our hearts were protected, we'd be a lot more united. We'd be a lot more united because that insecurity wouldn't be leaking out. We are protected in our heart. The shoes of peace. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. You see, Paul is again referencing a prophecy about the coming Messiah in Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. This is the good news. God's got this. And if that's true, I can walk in peace. Not peace in a sense, nothing goes wrong in my life. No. A peace that no matter what goes wrong in my life, God's got this. All right. Now for the next one, I'm going to need my teams to lock in, because we're talking about the shield of faith. So in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Because the enemy's coming at you with lies and accusations, and he is throwing things at you. That is how he attacks us. And we must hold up and be interlocked, because faith will actually extinguish flaming arrows. Like, God has abandoned me. The world is doomed. This will never change. And so when you get fiery arrows of doubt coming at you, bam, faith says, no, God's taking care of me. He'll do it again. Or a fiery arrow of fear. Boom, you're overwhelmed. What's going on in the world and all this stuff? No, nothing can stop God. Not even government bills about hate speech. Nothing's going to get in the way of God. He's going to win. He will come out on top. Our faith is built in God's faithfulness. It's not our own faith. It is a faith we're given. He is faithful, and we can rest in that, and that unifies us. Thank you, guys. Ephesians 6:17, put on salvation as your helmet. Put on salvation as your helmet. See, salvation is rescue. And so we need to remember what Christ has done for us and guard our mind, remember our identity in Christ, so our minds can be healthy and focused, which unites us. Much easier to be united when we are healthy in our minds. The sword of the Spirit. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the fun fact, the sword is the only part of the armor that's actually for offense. Everything else is defense. But the sword is for offense. In Matthew 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil. And he defeats it. He pushes back against temptation by using scripture. So he fights lies with truth. And we must do the same. We hold on to the truth of God's word that we believe no matter what our cultural trying to convince us. Like, this is true. This is what is best for us if we deeply understand it. And we can fight the lies that the enemy throws against us with the word of God. No, I know you think I should be fearful of this, but God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to use this as a weapon. And that can be a beautiful, unifying thing. So, we've got this armor. We're ready to stand, but what do we do? Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We need to be praying for each other instead of bickering with each other. Prayer, when you pray for someone, that unites you. Oh, that person drives me nuts. Well, then why don't you just pray for them? God, help them. Help me, help my attitude, help me see things in a different light, whatever it is. It brings unity. It brings unity. We must stay alert and be vigilant like a sentry or a guard, just like we saw standing watch. My prayers have power. We need powerful prayers. Man, that's a side note, prayer boot camp. Come to the next one. Continue to learn how to grow in your authority in prayer so you can take some real ground when it comes to these things. Lord, cover my family today. Jesus, help my friend see the lie he's believing. Bring your kingdom into this meeting. Guard our church from division. Pray with authority and stand your ground. You know, today, parents, you pray to prayer dedication over your children. And man, we need fathers that are blessing their kids every night at bed. We need some mama bear prayers. How many of you in here are here because your mom prayed for you? I know Sean, yeah, I was looking for you. Sean's here because he had a mom who persistently prayed for him. Man, there is power in prayer. I mean, I asked my guys in my Bible with the guys group, I'm like, can you guys pray for me, but can you also pray for the people that'll be here today? I was asking this last night and this morning. Man, the chat just got filled with powerful prayers for you, for what God would do. And a few AI pictures, I think they have one. Thank you, Rick. He's like, all right, we're in our armor, here we go. I like that. That might be my profile pic. All right, we'll see. Prayer has power for others, but also for yourself. And I want to encourage you in this. Another aspect of prayer is breaking agreements. If we are truly going to be united, hold our ground, we've got to break off the things that would compromise us and get us out, looking around or struggling or dropping our shield or whatever. Sometimes we unknowingly agree with darkness. We don't necessarily mean to, but we do. We make agreements with darkness. Like, I'm not trustworthy. I'm alone. This is just something I'll always struggle with. I'll always be in this dead-end job. I'm just an angry person. I don't think I fit in this church. There are just agreements that we make that we need to let go of. And not just let go of. There is a process and there is a way to do it. You need to recognize when you're out of alignment with God. You got to break agreements. We need to confess it. God, I have been thinking this, believing this, acting this way. God, I lay it before you. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I'm done with it. This is not right. This is not the way that a healthy Christian person should think. This is not how I should think or feel or whatever. I renounce this. This is not going to have a hold on my life anymore by the power of Jesus. And would you free me? I'm going to replace it with truth. Jesus, you said that I'm free, that I'm loved, that I'm cared for, that I'm accepted or whatever. You claim this. Man, if we would do the hard work on ourselves first, it would be so much easier to be unified. I think a great way to do that, freedom session this fall. I took it last year. Guys, you'll see about it as it comes more and more. Guys, imagine if this whole church actually took freedom session and like worked through the things in us that we don't want to acknowledge and you found freedom. Holy cow, what a force we would be. I really encourage you. I want to wrap up with this. N.T. Wright in the book, The Vision of Ephesians, he says this. The king has won the victory. Now he shares his armor with us so that we may stand firm, consolidating the ground that he's won, and also further implement that victory by the sharp, pointed, worldwide announcement of Jesus as Lord. This is our time, church. Not a time to be wishy-washy, but a time to lock in one last time. Lock in. This is representative and reflective of what the church should look like with all our differences. Can't even see his face. Where are you? There you are. He's there. He's doing his thing. He's in formation. Right? I love this. We lock in. We stand our ground. We are a church that is all together. Different, but all together united to preserve what God has done and to help others experience it. What a picture to the world when the church actually stands united in a disunited world. I'm going to invite us all to stand. You guys can go back. Thank you. I want you to take a minute as we wrap up. And before, you know, I want to lead us in a prayer and I want to encourage you, but sometimes I said a lot, and I could have gone forever, but There's so much to this. And yet, sometimes the simplest thing is to just stop and take a moment to like almost digest it. So for just a couple seconds, we're just going to take a second. I want you to think. Maybe talk to God about this. If you have a relationship with God, you can talk with God. Did you know that? And if you're not and you're just like, I'm still not sure what I think of all this, that's okay. Just maybe pay attention to what's actually going on in your mind right now. Lots of times we want to tune that out. Sometimes it's good to stop and actually, what is going through my mind and my heart right now? Where am I in disunity with another believer? Some of us are going to get convicted today. I might be out of line. I'm not holding the formation. I'm those two guys fighting on the side. Where am I in disunity with another believer that I need to deal with? God, I allow you. I allow you to convict me, to point that person out to me. Okay, I think we need to have a conversation. I need to ask for forgiveness, or I just need to lovingly share my side of things, and whatever it is. Where are you in disunity with God? God, I'm not locked in, if I'm being honest, because I'm busy with this over here or doing this on the side or these things that are actually stopping me from fully following you. And let God point it out. If you actually are like, God, I allow you to show me. He'll show you because he loves you. He's a loving father who wants to show you what's holding you back so that he can free you from it. Am I truly willing to be a part of something bigger? God, if this requires armoring up and becoming part, am I actually willing to do this? And it's not being afraid of the enemy. It's being so in love and in awe of our God that I would do anything to join his cause and be a part of what he's doing. Thank you, Lord, that you are showing us each individually right now exactly what you want to say to us. It's hard. It's scary sometimes. But we trust you enough to let you point things out, Lord, either to convict us or maybe just to encourage us. Maybe we're doing it. And God just wants to say, well done. You are holding the line well. You are living for me well. I am proud of you. There's a process to all of this. Again, I encourage Freedom Session would be a great way to really dive deep into some of this. There's prayers of deliverance that you can even go through. If you're just like, I don't know what to pray, go to a website, wildatheart.org. They have all these amazing prayers that you can pray through. You could come receive prayer from us up front. I'll be here. I would love, there will be people ready to pray with you, to pray through the things that are overwhelming you. But I want to invite you to join as we wrap up, to pray in alignment with Jesus. And if that's you, you're like, I am already all in, and I'm going to pray this again, or I want to be all in with Jesus. There's something here. I know it. And you want to pray that prayer, then I want to invite you to pray with us together as we close our eyes. Let's end with this. Father God, I submit my life to you today. I choose to step out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God. I take my place in your story. And I choose to stand firm. Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again to make all things new. Make me new. I renounce the work of the enemy and all the ground I've ever given him in my life. In Jesus' name, I tear down every stronghold and every lie that the enemy has planted in me. And I put on the full armor of God. I choose light over darkness, truth over lies, courage over cowardice, and holiness over sin. Holy Spirit, fill me. Strengthen me with courage. Let me be a threat to the kingdom of darkness this week. Nothing will stop your church, and I take a firm stand as one of the faithful. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and I fight. Amen. 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 Come on, church. We got to lock in one last time. Do it. Lock it in. Lock it in.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.